नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 5, Chapter 7, chapter entitled The Activities of King Bharat. Text number 5. I'll just read the Sanskrit. You can follow along on the board. EJ cha bhagavantam yagya katurupam katubhir uchavachai Shataya Hitagni Hotra Darsha Purnamasa Chatur Masya Pashu Samanam Prakriti Vikriti Bir Anusavanam Chatur Hotra Vidina. Word for word synonyms. EJ worshipped. Cha also Bhagavantam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajna-kratu-rupam. Having the form of sacrifices. Without animals. And sacrifices with animals. Kratubhi. By such sacrifices. Uchavachai. Very great and very small. Shraddhaya. With faith. Ahrita. Being performed. Agnihotra. Of the Agnihotra Yajna. Darsha. Of the Darsha Yajna. Purnamasa, of the Purnamasa Yajna, Chaturmasya, of the Chaturmasya Yajna, Pashusomana, of the Yajna with animals, and the Yajna with Somarasa, Prakriti, by full performances. Vikriti B. And by partial performances. Anusavanam. Almost always. Chatukhotra Vidhina. By the regulative principles of sacrifice. Directed by four kinds of priests. Translation. With great faith, King Bharat performed various kinds of sacrifice. He performed the sacrifices known as Agnihotra, Darsha, Purnamasa, Chaturmasya, Pashu Yajna, wherein a horse is sacrificed, and Soma Yajna, wherein a kind of beverage is offered. Sometimes these sacrifices were performed completely and sometimes partially. In any case, in all the sacrifices, the regulations of Chaturhotra were strictly followed. In this way, Bharat Maharaj worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Animals like hogs and cows were offered in sacrifice to test the proper execution of the sacrifice. Otherwise, there was no purpose in killing the animal. Actually, the animal was offered in the sacrificial fire to get a rejuvenated life. Generally, an old animal was sacrificed in the fire, and it would come out again in a youthful body. Some of the rituals, however, did not require animal sacrifice. In the present age, animal sacrifices are forbidden. As stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ashvamedham Gavalambham Sanyasam Palapaitrakam Devarena Sutotpattim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayet. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Such sacrifices are impossible in this age due to the scarcity of expert brahmanas or ritvijas who are able to take the responsibility. In the absence of these, the Sankirtana Yajna is recommended. Yajyaik Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hisumedasaha. After all, sacrifices are executed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajyartha Karma. Such activities should be carried out for the Supreme Lord's pleasure. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord, in his incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should be worshipped with his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This process is accepted by intelligent men. Yajyaik Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. The word Sumedasaha refers to intelligent men who possess very good brain substance. Om Jnanata Vanandhasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karahmayam Dharati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnuparaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarame. EJ Chabhagavantam Yajna Kratu Rupam Kratubir Uchavachai Shradhaya Hritagni Hotra Darsha Purnamasa Chatur Masya Pashu Somanam Prakriti Vikriti Bir Anusavanam Chatur Hotra Vidhina. With great faith, King Bharat performed various kinds of sacrifice. He performed the sacrifices known as Agnihotra, Darsha, Purnamasa, Chaturmasya, Pashu Yajna, wherein a horse is sacrificed, and Soma Yajna, wherein a kind of beverage is offered. Sometimes these sacrifices were performed completely, and sometimes partially. In any case, in all the sacrifices, the regulations of Chatur Hotra were strictly followed. In this way, Bharat Maharaj worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees of the Lord. So, Maharaj Bharat, he's ideal king. He's, as was explained yesterday in the verse, that he's very much kind to his citizens. And he was always thinking of his citizens' welfare. And This is exemplified by his performance of so many different kinds of yajñas, sacrifices. In the age in which Maharaj Bharat was living, it was possible to perform these wonderful sacrifices, and great benefit would come to the performers. And Maharaj Bharat, he did not consider himself to be the beneficiary of the sacrifice, because he was seeing that he was simply doing this as a service to his praja, the population of the country. He was seeing that the items that were coming for use in the sacrifice, they're all produced by the citizens. All the arrangements, he alone didn't make all the arrangements. The Brahmins were making so many arrangements, and the Brahmins were supported by the Kshatriyas and the Vanaprasthas. Everyone was, the society was arranged perfectly in such a way that everyone all worked together. And the culmination, the proof of the functioning of the society, was that the Supreme Lord Vishnu was worshipped. And in this worship was proven to be effective and proven to be pleasing to the Supreme Lord, because of, by witnessing the results of the sacrifice. If an animal was sacrificed, then the animal would get a new body and would come out of the fire in a new body and be rejuvenated, etc. There would be sufficient rains in the kingdom, and everyone would be prosperous, etc., etc. There are so many ways in which it was determined that the Supreme Lord was actually pleased by the worship. And this was proof that everything was organized properly in the kingdom, that Maharaj Bharat was successful in his ruling the kingdom. Now, in this present age, Srila Prabhupada takes great pains in the purport to emphasize that this cannot be imitated in the present age. The inner purpose of worship of Lord Vishnu, it's meant to be followed at all time, place, and circumstance. But the details of how to do that vary from age to age. And in the Kali Yuga, not only are there not insufficiently qualified Brahmins, but also the produce from the fields is not as pure. The ingredients, it's not possible to get the pure kind of ingredients that were available in the previous age. So many reasons, it's not possible. And especially Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he emphasizes that this animal sacrifice is not permitted in this Kali Yuga. This same the same preaching tactic was adopted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Navadvip, there was one Qazi, Chand Qazi, and he was Muslim ruler of Navadvip town where Nimai was living. Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living. And there was some little friction, some little tension between the Hindus and the Muslims. And the Mridanga drum was broken. Some drama was there. So to resolve the conflict, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Chand Qazi in a very humble mood. And they began to discuss philosophically. The Chand Qazi was a learned scholar also. And Nimai Pandit was a learned scholar. So they discussed on the basis of Shastra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chand Qazi, he said, why do you kill the cow? Why do you kill the cow? The cow is giving milk, and the bull is plowing the fields, and you're getting grains. So they're your mother and father. The cow and the bull are your mother and father. So how it is that you can kill them? Where in Shastra is it allowed that you can kill your mother and father? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this argument. So Chand Qazi said, just like you have your Vedas and Puranas, we have our Holy Quran. And in the Holy Quran, it is stated that there is Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. There's the path of sense enjoyment and the path of renunciation. He says it's true that in the path of Nivritti Marg, the path of renunciation, so that this animal killing is not permitted. But in the path of Pravritti Marg, of sense gratification, it's permitted. The Quran permits it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, how is it, says, you don't, when you kill the cow, you're not able to give it a new body. You cannot give life to the cow. So how can you take the life from the cow? He says, actually, says, your scriptures are defective, he said. He said, the compilers of your scriptures, they are not totally conversant with the truth. If you cannot give a life, how can you take life? And then he quoted this same verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted here. Ashvamedham gavalambam sannyasam palapaitrikam devarena satotpattim kalau pancha vibharjayet. So this discussion went on, and he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he says, if you kill the cow, the Muslims are killing cows, therefore the Muslims are all going to hell. There is no hope for their deliverance. He says, for every cow killed, as many hairs on the body of the cow, for each hair, 1,000 years, you'll have to stay in hell. There's no hope. Therefore, you should stop this cow killing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke very eloquently, and Chand Qazi was convinced. And he surrendered under the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the point is that Shastra should be free from the four defects. Something which is composed, some work which is composed by those who are suffering from the four defects, it cannot be accepted as Shastra. Shastra must be free from the four defects. So if some shastra gives a prescription for animal sacrifice, but it does not give the prescription for how to give that animal life again, then it cannot be accepted as bona fide Shastra. So actually, the sacrifices given in the Vedas, all these different kinds of sacrifices mentioned here, the procedures are given very explicitly in the Vedas. All the different procedures to be followed, the mantras to be chanted, the qualification of the Brahmins, how the Brahmins will be trained, how they prepare, everything is very carefully described in the Shastra. And if you study all these prescriptions and the mantras that are chanted, you can see that they're all containing the name of Lord Vishnu. Ultimately, the success of all these sacrifices are based upon the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Without chanting the name of Lord Vishnu, there's no question of success in any endeavor. So, the priests also performing, they're devotees. The priests were worshipping Vishnu. And when devotees, pure devotees, they chant the holy name, then all success comes. Actually, yajna, the word yajna, if you analyze the word yajna, it means worship. It doesn't mean throwing ghee in the fire. The word for that is homa. But the word for yajna means sacrifice, means worship of Vishnu, and that by worship you're sacrificing, you're giving up your hard-earned wealth or your time, energy, whatever, for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. So these five things are prohibited. Ashvamedham gavalambam. These sacrifices in which animal is killed, it's not possible to perform. Sannyasam, not allowed in Kali Yuga. Palapaitrikam. Don't worry, I'll get to it. Palapaitrikam, offering of flesh to the forefathers, also involving animal killing. And devarena sutotpattim, if a man dies, and the wife has no son, then the brother of the deceased man can give child to the wife, to his brother's wife. That was allowed in previous ages. In Kali Yuga, this is not allowed. These things are vivarjayet, very strong language. absolutely forbidden, including sannyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this verse to the Chankazi. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So how do we understand? So, some nice information from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. In purport, Adi Lila chapter 15, text 14, Srila Prabhupada writes very nicely. It is sometimes said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of the acceptance of the sannyas order in this Kali Yuga, because in the Shastra it is said, Ashvamedham Gavalambam, etc. Nevertheless, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas and approved of the sannyas of his elder brother, Vishwarup. It is clearly said here, quoting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhala hole, Vishwarup sannyas korila, Pitrakula matrakula dui udharila. This is very good. Vishwarup sannyas is very, very good. By doing that, the father's family and the mother's family both delivered. So he approved of Vishwarup sannyas. Srila Prabhupada continues, therefore, should we think that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made contradictory statements? No, actually he did not. It is recommended that one accept sannyas to dedicate his life for the service of the Lord. So sannyas is allowed if it is done for dedicating one's life to the service of the Lord. Another very nice quote from lecture of Srila Prabhupada, 1968. Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi? Yes, that is a formality. It is not very important. Because Mayavadi sannyasis, they are also Vedic sannyasis. They are not outsiders. Their interpretation of Veda is different, but they follow the Vedic rules. Acceptance of sannyas is following the Vedic rules. So you can accept sannyas even from Mayavadi. It doesn't matter. But you have to transcend the limits of the Vedic rules. That is Krishna consciousness. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he did not assume the sannyas title. His sannyas guru was Keshava Bharati. So naturally he should have accepted the Bharati title, Sri Krishna Bharati or something like that. However, he remained as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya is the name of a brahmachari under the guidance of Bharati sannyasis. But even after his acceptance of sannyas, he did not assume the title Bharati. That means that actually, he did not take sannyas. That was simply a formality. Mayavadi sannyasis think that they are God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching that we are servants of God. Therefore, he did not assume that title. Besides that, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Jagannath Puri, his rod, sannyas danda, was taken away by Nityananda, who broke it and threw it away in the Suvarnarekha River. At that time, he apparently became very angry. You have broken my sannyas rod, so I'm not going with you. And he separated from the party. In one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not require to accept any sannyas guru. But he accepted the formality that if one takes sannyas, one has to take sannyas from another sannyasi. That is the system. Just like if you want to get married, you have to call for a priest. But it does not mean that you have to agree with the priest's personal opinion. So it's a formality. Taking sannyas you have to take from a sannyasi. It's a formality. In order to be accepted in society, you have to take from a recognized sannyasi coming in a recognized sannyas line. But that is a formality. You don't have to agree with your sannyas guru's opinion, especially if he's a Mayavadi. So, I have some wonderful material here. Why did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta introduce saffron cloth and sannyasa? Because after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they did not take sannyas. They simply wore white cloth. And they would put sannyas cloth on their head. They felt themselves unqualified to wear sannyas cloth because that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dress. So they felt themselves unqualified. And for many generations, down until the last century, Vaishnavas, they did not accept sannyas order. Those in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did not accept sannyas. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he introduced sannyas into the Gaudiya line. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he describes. I'm sorry, this is Srila Prabhupada talking about Bhaktisiddhanta, sorry. Srila Prabhupada. Actually, a Vaishnava is above Varnashram Dharma. But we don't claim that we have become perfect Vaishnavas. Right? We don't claim we've become perfect Vaishnavas. We are not so impudent. We want to remain under the Vaishnavas. Just like Rupa Goswami, they wanted to always remain under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find that Vaishnava is Paramahamsa. A Vaishnava has no saffron cloth. A Vaishnava wears white cloth because Vaishnava is Paramahamsa. We don't claim the position of Vaishnava. We want to remain the servants of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, this sannyas order is below the position of Vaishnava. We want the order of sannyas is a material classification. But Vaishnava is paramo nirmatsaranam satam. A paramahamsa free from envy. And sagunan samatitya itan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Above the material modes of nature. The position of being a Vaishnava is not an easy thing. It is above all material qualities. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced sannyas so as not to become imitators of Rupa Sanatan, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are Paramahamsas. The Paramahamsa stage should not be imitated. To stop this imitation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the system sannyas. He personally became a sannyasi, and he gave sannyas to many of his disciples. Because some were imitating. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this also. Some were imitating Paramahamsa stage. And actually not being qualified as Paramahamsas, they were putting on Paramahamsa dress in order to get the adoration of the public. So one of the reasons Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the sannyas is to stop this imitation Paramahamsa business. Another reason is that he saw the success of the Radha, of the Ramakrishna mission, how they had the sannyasis were accepted and they were having some preaching success by having sannyas, taking sannyas dress. So this story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he gives a description. And Srila Prabhupada tells the stories to some degree in his purports. But it's given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa The Lord of the universe, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became absorbed in the mood of the gopis and chanted, Vrindavan, gopi, gopi, gopi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting like this. He was thinking, he was absorbed in the mood of the gopis and he's chanting like this. One of his co-student, not one of his students, but another student who was studied with him previously, together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they were younger. One student overheard this, and not understanding the internal mood of the Lord, said, O Nimai Pandit, why are you chanting gopi, gopi, gopi? You should stop this and chant the name of Krishna. What piety will you achieve by chanting gopi, gopi, gopi? The Vedas say that one achieves piety by chanting the name of Krishna. The Lord was absorbed in a different mood, which the ignorant student could not understand. The Lord said, Krishna is a rogue. Who will worship him? He mercifully killed Bali for no fault of his. Hiding behind a tree, he killed Bali. What kind of a... He's such a rogue. Being controlled by his wife, he cut off the nose and ears of Sarpanaka. Being under the control of Sita. He took everything away from Bali Maharaj and sent him to Patala. What will I gain by chanting his name? After speaking in this way, Mahaprabhu, who was absorbed in ecstasy, not wanting to hear this student telling him to chant Krishna, he didn't want to hear about Krishna. So he took up a stick and he rushed to beat that student. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Considering himself a resident of Vrindavan and the child of a cowherd, Sri Gaurasundar was chanting gopi, 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 addressing the daughter of Maharaj Vishwabhanu. On hearing him, a young Brahmin student who could not understand the internal mood of Lord Gauranga said, chanting the name of Krishna is the only way to be delivered from material existence. How have you become misguided to give up chanting such names and taking to the chanting of gopi? The young student did not know that one cannot attain the lotus feet of Krishna without taking shelter of the gopis, who are Krishna's ashraya vigrahas, the embodiments of love for him. In particular, since that foolish student had not studied the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, Ahush Chate Nalina Nabha, he tried to induce Gaurasundar to chant the name of Krishna as if such chanting was an abominable atonement prescribed by a smarta supervisor. This clashed with the internal mood of Gaurasundar, who therefore attempted to show that student the same treatment Sri Madhavendra Puri showed to his misguided disciple Ramachandra Puri. What will I gain by taking shelter of that rogue Krishna who cut off the nose and ears of the lusty Sarpanaka, who killed Bali, who sent Bali to Patala after taking everything away from him? After speaking such loving, quarrelsome words, Mahaprabhu chased after that student. Seeing the angry Lord with a stick in his hand, the student panicked and ran away to escape being beaten by his stick. Mahaprabhu chased after him, exclaiming, "Catch him! Catch him!" Not understanding the Lord's mood, the student ran for his life. The devotees quickly ran after the Lord and soon caught him and brought him back. As they all pacified the Lord, the student fearfully ran away. Breathing heavily and covered with perspiration, the student quickly joined his fellow students, who were all less intelligent like him, and told them about Lord Gaurasundar's behavior. He told them, "Today I'm lucky to still be alive. Everyone says that Nimai Pandit is a great saint, so I went to his house to see him. I saw that day and night he was sitting and chanting gopi, gopi, gopi. So I asked him, 'O Pandit, what are you doing? Chant the name of Krishna as the scriptures have prescribed.' On hearing my words, he burned with anger. He then picked up a stick and began to chase me. He also criticized Krishna with such filthy words that I am unable to repeat them. I was saved only by the will of destiny. This is what happened to me today. Hearing this, some of his fellow students said, "We all studied together with Vishvambhara. How can he suddenly become a liberated Mahabhagavat? He may be the son of Jagannath Mishra, but we are also the sons of learned persons like Jagannath Mishra. He is not a king who can award punishment. If he comes to punish us, we will punish him. Like him, we are also sons of Brahmins. If he comes to beat a Brahmin, why should we tolerate it? If someone accepts him as superior to a Brahmin by calling him a Vaishnava, then we should hear the name of Krishna coming from his mouth." Right? He has to prove he's a Vaishnava by chanting the name of Krishna. "Hearing the strange name Gopi coming from his mouth, no one will consider him a Vaishnava. The duty of a Vaishnava is to follow in the footsteps of the Brahmins. Since he became angry enough to beat a Brahmin, we can understand that he is envious of Brahmins." In this way, the sinful students made a plan, which was understood by Sri Shachinandan, the super soul. One day, Mahaprabhu was sitting in the midst of his associates. Suddenly, he spoke something strange, which no one could understand. Korila pepali khanda kapha nibharite. Ulatiya aro kapha borila dehete. Translation: I made the medicine pepali khanda to clear excess mucus, but instead of clearing the mucus in the body, it created more. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that by speaking the above, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu means to say, "I attempted to preach to the suffering living entities of this world a truth that had never before been revealed. But rather than accepting it, they took the heavy burden of offense on their shoulders. I wanted to preach for the eternal benefit of the residents of Nadia, but they did not understand my intention and seem to have become bewildered, so they are opposing the preaching of pure devotional service. The Vedic literature prescribes the medicine pipali kanda to cure a person who is afflicted by excessive mucus. But rather than curing the disease, the medicine has simply increased the mucus. The materialistic people of this world worship imaginary gods to increase their sense gratification. They do not perform any activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, but simply remain busy gratifying their own senses. They consider sense gratification as the goal of life and do not inquire about the rarely attained loving devotional service of Krishna." So Mahaprabhu is making this comparison that he made a medicine to cure the disease of mucus, but he took that medicine and it simply increased the mucus. So he's saying that he was trying to preach to everyone to give up material life and to stop this sense gratification. But by preaching that, they simply increased their sense gratification and therefore became more and more diseased. So he said, this is the wrong medicine. He says, I have to make some trick. So this is the reason that Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He was Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he was a grihastha, many were not accepting him and were criticizing. Mahaprabhu thought, I have to take sannyas because a sannyasi has prestige. The general people have the notion that a Mayavadi sannyasi is not iron. Mahaprabhu thought, I must take sannyas, otherwise these people won't listen to me. So he took up sannyas from Keshav Bharati, who was a sannyasi in the Mayavadi Sampradaya. However, Mahaprabhu preached Vaishnava philosophy. That was his purpose. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas. Otherwise, how can you... This is Gaur Govinda Maharaj talking. Otherwise, how can you manage such a worldwide organization? All of the brahmacharis and devotees will accept if a sannyasi is the leader. Isn't it a fact? They will offer him obeisances and accept what he says. But if he's a grahastha, if he's a brahmachari, nobody will accept. Of course, they will accept, but making a point that sannyasi naturally will command respect. And this will give some structure to the society. Such a big society. Srila Prabhupada wanted to create such a big society. So some organization is required. So even though sannyas is forbidden in this age, for preaching it can be accepted. And to manage the preaching mission, sannyasis are required. Because sannyasis are naturally respected by everyone. Prabhupada gave an opportunity. Understand that this, Prabhupada is giving opportunity. If you are intelligent, you will understand this. You should think, I don't deserve it. I'm not qualified. But he gave me an opportunity, so I must make myself qualified and keep up the position. So this is what someone has a position in the Krishna consciousness movement. They should not think that, yes, I've been given this position because I'm qualified. They should accept the position as an opportunity to do some service, not as a certification of qualification. So we should take any position we have, sannyas or whatever, as an opportunity. We should aspire to become qualified for that position. So, sannyas forbidden in Kali Yuga if one aspires for liberation. But if one is aspiring for service to Krishna, then anything can be accepted. Any position can be accepted. One can accept anything for preaching, even if it supposedly is forbidden by Shastra. Because the purpose of all all Shastric injunctions are to think of Krishna. And the purpose of all Shastric prohibitions are to never forget Krishna. This is Shastra. This is the essence of Shastra. So even if there's some so-called prohibition in Shastra, one can accept that thing for preaching, for carrying out the orders of the Supreme Lord, Guru and Gauranga. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Questions, comments? Microphone?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for an enlightening class. You said, Prabhuji, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Mayavadi sannyasi. On the other hand, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he also took sannyas. But he took sannyas just to take photos of his Guru Maharaj. And so how he has not accepted any sannyas guru?
Who?
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he took sannyas, he just took the photo of...
Photo of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj.
How come that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taken from Mayavadi, but he has not followed anything like this? Why Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj did like?
Because he understood the problem of this Kali Yuga, especially in the 20th century, that if he were to have accepted some Mayavadi sannyasi, first of all, where's the proof that there's any bona fide sannyas? Back then, maybe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there was some proof that Keshava Bharti was coming on a bona fide line from Shankaracharya. So can the Mayavadi sannyasis today prove that they have a bona fide line of sannyasis? That was one issue. Another issue, he understood the people will misunderstand. If he takes from a Mayavadi sannyasi, People will misunderstand and also accept that Mayavadi, may accept that Mayavadi sannyasi as authority. Of course, I don't know the mind of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but this is how it's explained by the Acharyas. Bhima Das.
Thakur established sannyas to show that there were many persons not qualified and, you know, following the Paramahamsa path, but they weren't qualified. So he established the sannyas order. But at the same time, we saw that Srila Prabhupada, he allowed one devotee to take Babaji. Remember that? In Chicago?
Yeah.
Udalomi Prabhu.
Yeah.
He took Babaji Vish and went to Mayapur and chanted.
Yeah, he had a fatal disease.
He was supposed to have leukemia or something.
Yeah, leukemia. But then it turned out he didn't have it after all, right?
He didn't have it, no. And actually, when Prabhupada gave him the initiation, he said, I was right there. When he handed him his loincloth, his kopan, and his charter, Prabhupada gave it to him and said, since you think you are going to die, therefore I'm awarding you this Babaji initiation. But he never died.
Well, he may have. We don't know. Long gone. Yeah, that's a good point. That devotee, you know, he wanted to sit and chant. Believing he was going to die, he just wanted to sit and chant. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay. So he would just be distinguished from the rest of the devotees in the temple and give some devotees would give him some special facility. Just, he sat on the balcony, right, of that Chicago temple, right? He had his little bhajan kutir there. And he chanted for a while, at least. More questions? Yes. Hara Prabhu.
Hindi mein. Hare Krishna. Jaise ki Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ne sanyas swikar kiye, wo to Bhagwan hai. Bhagwan chahenge to Bhagwan sabke hriday mein Paramatma mein birajman hai. Wo ek second mein sara sansar ko bhakt bana sakte, to unko kyun itna mehnat karna padta hai? Dusra point. कि जैसे वासुदेव दत्त विप्र वो तो भगवान को बोला भगवान सारा संसार का पाप मेरे को दे दो सबको उद्धार करो तो महाप्रभु उस टाइम बोले ठीक है मैं तुमको उद्धार करूंगा पूरा ब्रह्मांड में जितना जीव सबको उद्धार हो जाएगा तो भगवान तो चाहेगा तो एक सेकंड में उद्धार हो जाएगा तो इतना मेहनत क्यों करना पड़ता है
I understand your question correctly. You're asking why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have delivered the whole world, so why he took all the trouble to take sannyas. That was the first part.
Yeah.
Second part was Vasudev Datta. He... Because Vasudev Datta prayed that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would deliver the whole world, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted that request. So therefore he could have, why did he have to take sannyas? Well, this is how he did it. This is how he fulfilled the benediction that he gave to Vasudev Datta. Of course, he could have just immediately, actually, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to this material world, all the jivas, embodied jivas, present in the universe during the Lord's pastimes, this is their final birth, they go, they become liberated. Okay? That's the special benediction. Even if they didn't meet the Lord, they'll become liberated at least. They may not go to Vaikuntha, they may not get framed. But they become liberated because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in incarnation on this planet. So that is the meaning of Vasudev Dutta's request. That Vasudev Dutta prayed that all the living entities be delivered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered all the living entities. But then again, after the Lord disappeared, again, it got filled up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give some process. He wanted to create some process. He wanted to establish the Yuga Dharma, so that not only those who were present during his physical presence were delivered, but even the future generations would be delivered. So therefore he established this Sankirtan movement and preached and took sannyas. Of course, additionally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there's an internal reason also for him taking sannyas, and that's because he wanted to relish the separation felt by the gopis and separation from Krishna. So that was that's another topic for another day. Okay? Microphone?
From what I understood his question to be, it's slightly nuanced. He said that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could grant instant liberation, why do we have this elaborate process? Why doesn't everyone get instant liberation? That I understand was his question.
But he only granted it to... He's not here anymore on this planet, in his personal form as a avatar of Vishnu. Of course, Archa avatar is there, but when he comes personally, then he delivers all the souls. That doesn't answer the question. All I know how to describe. Anything more? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada.